an area like this, both your pastor and I, we forgot, Phil and I forgot to tell you where Elam Fellowship is located. And we're not on Mars. It's located 20 miles south of Rochester in a town called Lima, New York. And most people see L-I-M-A and they say Lima, like Peru, but it's Lima like the lima bean. And so that's where we're located. We've been there for, I think, close to 50 years now, 45 years now, something like that. And so that's where it is, and it's pretty exciting. And so if you have any other questions, feel free. You know, I'm going to be around today and tomorrow a little bit. Feel free to ask me any questions. If I can answer them, I'd be glad to answer them. Pastor, this is the first thing he said to me before. He said, is there a possibility you could come and on the Saturday and share a word of encouragement to my kind of like my core people, the people who I feel like really make the church happen? And I understood that as a pastor, because the truth of the matter is, people will get invited into the church and they'll hear a good preacher, usually your pastor, but they won't stay. They'll join a church or come to a church because of the preacher. But what keeps people in a church is everybody else, believe it or not. It's whether the nursery is running well, whether the bathrooms are clean, whether people are friendly, as you just heard. That's what keeps people in a church. And then obviously the relational connections. In fact, what really causes people to leave a church often is sometimes disagreement with pastors, but that's just finicky Christians, if you want to know the truth. What causes people to get upset and hurt is feeling rejected. Feeling more so than anything else is feeling rejected. And so he said, could you come and just kind of share a word of encouragement to the pastors? I mean, to the core people, or to the people who I'm looking at right now. And I'll have to be honest with you. At first, I was sitting there thinking, well, this is kind of hard because I don't know them. You know, how can I encourage you, you know? But the Lord really started to download something in me that I wrote it yesterday. I wrote this whole message yesterday and put it together. And I just feel like it's something that, you know what? I'm going to actually share it with my own staff. In fact, over the next 4 or 5 weeks, I have 7 points, and that would go way too long for you. But I'm going to just kind of share what God gave me. And I gave you scripture verses, so I don't have to keep looking through the Bible, and that way you can take it home and read it yourself. But I was thinking about a sermon. This is what came to my mind, a sermon that I heard by a guy named Peter Lord. Peter Lord was a Southern Baptist pastor who got filled with the Holy Spirit and lived in Titusville, Florida. He was the gatekeeper of all the pastors and churches. He was like the apostle to Titusville, Florida. And I used to be a Southern Baptist boy. I got saved in 1978 at a Southern Baptist church, and then I started working for the 700 Club because I was in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and. Of course, when you work for them, they're a charismatic church, so it was like really weird to me. And this guy named Peter Lord came along, and he was a Baptist who had both experiences of a good Bible, you know, Father, Son, Holy Bible. And then also I was working for CVN that understood the third person of the Trinity and taught that. But this guy, Peter, had a sermon that was very famous. It was a famous message, and it was called Turkeys and Eagles. And it basically talked about how a lot of people think they're a turkey, but they're really meant to be eagles. And it was it's a different sermon than this. It's nothing to do with this. But that came into my heart, right, because I thought of Titusville. You see what I'm saying? And so I said, maybe God's speaking to me, because I hear God in different ways like that. And so I started studying a little bit about what it means to be an eagle, because there is a difference between being a turkey and an eagle. Eagles soar and turkeys cluck, you know what I'm saying? In fact, I was thinking of everybody has what I would call turkey behavior. You're a turkey, if you will. Turkey behavior at times. I mean, you have things in your life. In fact, one of the things that I was so scared about when I became the president is, you know, when you have a church like this church, and I had a church just like this, and they love you even with all your turkey behavior. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, pastors love you even with all your turkey behavior. So I got to thinking about some turkey behavior. And one of the things that happens with me is, if my wife was here right now, she could tell you all of them. But I say things wrong a lot. You know, in fact, some of you probably have even heard some things already. I've done some crazy things. I'll just say stuff, and I'm like, I'm trying to be meaningful. So even when I became the president, I stood before the Council of Elders of Elam Fellowship and said, I just need you to know that I say things once in a while that I don't need to say, and you need to cover me. I'm praying that they still cover me when I leave here. But one time my assistant pastor's wife was pregnant. And I always used to kind of like to take the ladies in the church right before they were having their baby. I mean, like the Sunday before almost, you know. And I would stand up there. And one time I was there, Michelle Loperfido, the girl you met at NISM. I put my arm around her. She was the girl that led worship, if any of you ladies went to NISM for the makeover thing. And I had my arm right here like this. And I said, now, Michelle, you could see that she's just about ready to pop. She's like well endowed. And endowed doesn't mean big here. And I still have my job, you know. That's what's crazy. Yeah. And one time I was sitting there, I was getting ready to have this altar call, and Michelle's an amazing worship leader, and I said, Michelle, would you come up and tinkle on the ivories instead of twinkle on the ivories? So. And now I'm your president. So that's, we've all had turkey moments, right? So, and I could go on and on, and they actually have a book written called Chrisisms, but I just shared that just to say, you know, that when I was pastoring, and I want you to know this, that pastor, I shared with him a little bit of what I was going to share, and I said, I feel like God said to me, speak to eagles, not turkeys. Speak to eagles. And so that's what I want to encourage you in. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you what eagles are like by using a guy named Hezekiah. I'm going to talk to you about what eagles are like. And if this isn't you, maybe you should say, God, I want to be like that. I don't know you enough. But my assumption is that you're here today because you're an eagle. And I just wanted to say to you, I'm going to preach what I think an eagle is all about using Hezekiah. Just to give you a little history as I go into this, there was nobody like King Hezekiah. You can find him in 2 Chronicles 29, 2 Kings 18, and Isaiah chapter 36. You can find him. You could study Hezekiah. Just Google it and you'll find it, okay? It's a new way to study the Bible. There was a southern kingdom called Judah, and they had bad kings in the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was made up of 10 tribes, and all of the northern kingdom kings were turkeys. But Hezekiah, amongst others, like you've heard of guys like Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he was a king. These guys were eagles. But Hezekiah, if you do the study in the history of the kings, in my opinion, it's just my opinion, I think he was an eagle of eagles. And I know for a fact that if a church is going to do well, it's going to be because we have a maintenance guy like an eagle. or have a sound person like an eagle. It's because we have eagles. And so you need to understand that, you know, your pastor's sitting over here having dinner with me, and he's telling me all about you all because you're eagles. He said, that person does this, and that person does that. I don't have a memory to tell you all of them. But you're eagles. And Hezekiah was an eagle amongst eagles. Listen to what it says in your notes there, 2 Kings, I think I gave it to you, verses chapter 18, verses 5 through 7. It said, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, and there was no one like him. So I'm not the one that said that. God said that. There was no one like him among the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept his commands, and the Lord had given to Moses, and the Lord was with him, and he was successful in all that he undertook. If you look at his life, you can see four different dimensions in Scripture that I think represent Hezekiah. My wife and I just went, the elders of Elam Fellowship, which, by the way, Peter De Arruda, you know, he's one of our elders of the fellowship. And so they assigned me and my wife to go take a life plan course. Happened to be in Las Vegas. We didn't gamble. And but we went to a church out there that's very successful, and they train you to look at your life. And they looked at different stages of my life, and I came back and I was thinking of the stages. The first stage is before he was a king. For 25 years before he's a king, he was born to a guy named King Ahaz. Now, I've got a whole bunch of description. I'm not going to take the time. But basically, Ahaz was a bad dude. He shut down worship in the temple. He pulled incense out of the temples. He raised up temples to other gods. Basically, Hezekiah, the guy that was good, had a front row seat by looking at his dad reign with absolute evil. And I think as a little boy, because I saw it in my own life, when I got married, one of the counselors, when me and Carol got married, said, you need to learn how to be a husband by doing something different than the way your father treated your mother. And I think that's what happened in Hezekiah from what I see. He saw how horrible the impact was of his dad not following God, that he made a decision as a youngster, if I ever become king, I'm going to turn things around. The second part of his life begins when his father dies, and he becomes a king at age 25, and it lasts for 14 years in that second part. And that first 14 years of his reign are characterized by spiritual renewal. He starts opening up the temples. He starts pulling down the high places. And in that section of Scripture, as you start reading through his life, you'll see that he's saying, we need a renewal. Our people need to catch on. And you'll see that in a minute in my teaching. The third part of his leadership became when they became the kingdom was being strong and everything in 14 years. And then all of a sudden, this little short period of time, the Assyrians came in and started taking over all the kingdoms. But when they got to Judah, King Hezekiah stood fast against them, reached out to his God, and became a victor. And I think it was 186,000 people were destroyed as a result of being a righteous king, calling out to God. And then the last part of his life, which is the fourth part, is the year of his reign where he does massive building projects. And all of a sudden, he gets sick and God heals him, gets another few years. He humbles himself, and then he begins to reign with his son Manasseh for the last 10 years until he died. That's the 4 years of Hezekiah. I want to give you five practices of eagles from Hezekiah's life. Now, I think most of you in this room have this already. In fact, I leaned to your pastor at lunch. I said, this is a good group of people. That's what started us talking about you. But you said, I know. I get around now. Last year I visited 47 churches. I know when is a good feeling in a church? And I'm telling you, I can feel it. It's kind of cool. Number one, eagles dare to cultivate zeal. They don't need people to tell them to be zealous. They become zealous and cultivate it in others. They cultivate zeal. Hezekiah watches his father lead Judah astray from God, and it set, I believe, a zeal into him, as I mentioned earlier, a zeal to restore Judah back to God. And listen to this passage in 2 Chronicles. It's in your notes, I think. Our parents were unfaithful. They did evil in the sight of God and forsook him. They turned their faces away from the Lord's dwelling place and turned their backs on him. They also shut the doors of the portico and put out the lamps, and they did not burn incense or present any burnt offerings at the sanctuary to the God of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord hath fallen on Judah and Jerusalem, and he has made them an object of dread and horror and scorn. Let me skip on down to verse 10. I love that word now. He's in charge now. Hezekiah is in charge now. Something had been brewing in him. Now, I intend to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel so that his fierce anger will turn away from us. My sons, he's talking to his leaders. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him and serve him, minister before him, and to burn incense. One of the things that's made me a person to try to be zealous myself is seeing heroes in my life and their zeal. I don't know if you all know a guy named Paul Johansson. Paul Johansson is like a father at Elam Fellowship. And he is crazy about God. He's crazy too. Because zealous people are a little crazy, you know what I'm saying? And but this guy, he just turned 81, I think now, maybe 80, 81. And he's the founder, he's the co-founder of NYSEM that you're familiar with. He was the president of the Bible school for several years. He was the dean of students. He started the movement that your pastor referred to with the Africans called PEFA. He was involved in the shaping of that indigenous work all throughout East Africa. He's just a zealous guy. And 80 years old. He just wrote to me yesterday. My son, Elijah, has just been diagnosed. He's 22 years old, and he's had diarrhea for 7 months. And we were just told 2 days ago that my son has got ulcerative colitis. And I said, my wife is really hurting over it. And so I just happened to be emailing Paul, and I said, pray for Carol, because my son, and I told her what I just told you. This is what he wrote back. He goes, the one who has experienced the blessing of his nails shall declare his healing. That's an 80-year-old guy telling me. I'm like, when I grow up, I want to be like him. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And listen, if you're eagles, people are watching you, and they're saying to them, when I grow up, I want to be like him. That's what happens when people come through this door and they see you as eagles, because you cultivate zeal. Jack Hayford is a good friend of mine, and I'm not just name dropping. He's, for some reason, over the years, taken me and my wife under his wing, and his wife just died recently. And we've had dinner in Israel with them at a Chinese restaurant, which is weird. But he's another guy, you know. Here he is, 82 years old, and he does more in one day than I ever dreamed to do. And it cultivated zeal in me. Eagles cultivate zeal. I could teach on zeal. I'm not going to take this, but let me give you some blanks to fill in. And if you don't get all the blanks, because I'm just going to teach always from my heart, I do have answer keys here for those people that just have to have them filled in. Here's what eagles do. Eagles embrace zeal over passion. Most people don't understand zeal because they mistake passion for zeal. It's not the same. Have you ever seen anybody that's really passionate in your church, but they're up and down emotionally? I'll talk about that tomorrow morning. It's like they're not steady. They're passionate, but then next minute they're not passionate. It's led by emotion. Zealous people, it's led by will. I think I left some of this in your notes. I can't remember, but passion is excitement. Zeal is commitment. Passion is rooted in emotion. Zeal is rooted in will. Passion is the feeling you get for God. Zeal is a decision you make for God. Passion is about your heart for God. Zeal is about your strength for God. Passion gets most people married. Zeal is how you stay married. Everybody understands that, right? Passion is what a new believer has. Zeal is what a lifelong follower of Jesus has. Isn't that good? Passion raises its hands in worship. That's passion, hey. Zeal says no to temptation when no one's looking. Passion worships God in the light. Zeal can worship God in the dark when feelings fade away and nothing makes sense. Passion chases spiritual goosebumps after the Holy Goose. I just thought of that. That's pretty cool. I put that right in my notes right there. Zeal chooses spiritual grit. There's a difference. Passion can get pumped about vision. Zeal can work tirelessly for hours, for countless years, with limited affirmation to actually see the vision realized. That's what you are. That's what eagles are in church. B. Eagles connect their zeal to God's zeal. Not just my zeal. Did I leave something up? No. Okay, good. B. Eagles connect their zeal to God's zeal. I won't spend a bunch of time here, but basically it's pretty explanatory. I think there are three things that God is zealous for in the Bible. There's probably more, but let me give you three. One, he's zealous for his own name. He tells everybody, my name has authority. He even says it in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be what? Thy name. So he's zealous for his name, God, the Father's name, the authority that comes with that. He's zealous for his house. There will always be a local church. Listen to me, there will always be a local church. No matter what it looks like, God is really excited about his house. He talks about it in the Psalms, and he built the church. And no matter what you hear and all the trends that might come about a church without walls, he's excited because God moves through local churches. He can't move through Elam up in Lima here. He moves through this local church representing Lima and Elam Fellowship. He's excited about the house of the Lord. And then here's the thing also. This is just something I threw in there. I've noticed about God. He's zealous for the next person who gets saved. Most churches are catering to the people who are currently saved. But God spoke to me as a pastor many years ago and says, build some of your messages and your programs around those who are not yet here. Because that's the Spirit of God. Not just those who are here. And churches that just focus on themselves implode. So God's about those three zeals. And I think eagles grab God's zeal. And they say, hey, we're happy about God's name. We're happy about God's church. And we're happy about the next person who walks through that door. That's an eagle. Eagles see, allow zeal to consume them. Psalm 69:9, it said, for the zeal for your house consumes me, and the insult you fall on me. I feel like people who are eagles versus turkeys, that they understand the zeal of the Lord, and it consumes you. It's what you think about. I want to be there. I want to support. I want to do this. I want to do that. It's just like it consumes you, because it's the nature of an eagle. There's always a price tag to be paid to be zealous. You know that it's called, in John Maxwell's world, it's called the Pareto principle. It's called the 80-20 principle. He says it like this. He says 80% of the people will eat, 20% of the people will eat 80% of the food at picnics. You know, 20% of the people plan the picnic. But here's the cool thing. In a church, you always have about 20% who are consumed for that church because they have zeal. Zeal consumes you. Not 80%. You'll never get 80%, really. Watch this. It's very unusual to get 80% of your people coming every single Sunday. But you have people that say, I want to be there even if I can't be there. That's an eagle. It's different. Did I skip anything? I don't think so. Right? Oh, I see what I did. I put my paper under there. Okay, number two. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, number two. See, I just wrote it yesterday. So. Eagles dare to get out in front. They dare to get out in front. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles 29:3, talking about Hezekiah. In the first month of the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. He got out there right away. The first month of the first year of his reign. He didn't wait a year. He said, listen, if we're going to change this, if we're going to turn this thing around, it's got to happen now. We can't go 10 months into this year. And eagles get out ahead of everybody. Eagles think a season while they work in the season they're in. Eagles think a season ahead while they work in the season they're in. If you're an eagle, a turkey will just do what he can do, and he's not thinking outside of that little coop called a turkey coop, you know what I mean? But an eagle will be working and preparing today, but thinking, what's down the road for winter? How can we get the church to go down the road? Not just working on the church now, but thinking about, what can we do beyond this? And so they're thinking ahead while they're working in the season they're in. B, eagles get out in front in their ministry. I already said that in the heading. C, eagles get out in front before meetings. So the first B, the word in the blank is the word ministry. Listen to this. Let me go back to B, because I wrote some thoughts down from John Maxwell, and I thought these were good. Whatever your ministry is, you should know more about it than anybody else. Do you think that way? Who are the top people? Like, let's say, I don't know who the worship leader is, but if you're the worship leader, then who are the top people today in that field, in the area of worship? Do you know their ministry? Do you learn from their ministry? An eagle looks that way. They're not just thinking about what people did in the past. Have you talked to them? Have you studied them? Have you gone on YouTube to find out how they sing their songs? Have you discovered how they run worship? Eagles think and get out in front in their ministry. What are the top five books in your area of ministry? Do you know them, and have you read them? Those are all from John Maxwell, those quotes. I think those are, that's an eagle, see? And right now I'm preparing for the conference, and I'm going to speak on the opening night of the conference at Elam. And I'm consumed by everything that's written for a 35, 40-minute sermon, because I want it to be the best. I want it to be the best. Or they'll fire me. C. Eagles get out in front of before meetings. So, for example, I've been, you know, I remember board meetings I used to have at my church, and I wouldn't call them turkeys, obviously, but it's turkey behavior. And that is, I had guys that had assignments that, you know, that they just did the assignment half hour before they came in, the board meeting, and they had 3 weeks. You know, Mike Cavanaugh just handed me a book. I'm on the board of the Bible College because I'm the president. And he just handed me a book and said, our meeting's June 24th. Could you read this book? Well, I want to know that book when I go, because that's how eagles think. You see what I'm saying? You get ahead. If you're having a meeting with the children's department, or you're going to have a meeting with the board here at this church, or you're going to have a meeting with how we're going to run a particular program, eagles don't wait to the meeting to discuss it. They're thinking ahead of time. They get out in front. Are you like that? Number three. This is meant to encourage, by the way. I mean, you know, it's not to condemn. If the shoe fits, that's your fault. He told me to encourage. That's your fault. So, all right, let's keep going. I'll be here in the morning, I hope. Okay. Eagles dare to set the leadership pace. Eagles dare to set the pace of leadership. So the word leadership should be in that blank. I'm going to read some verses that just pay attention to pace setting statements. 2 Chronicles 29:3. In the first month, you already heard this, of the first year of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple and repaired them. He's a leader. 2 Chronicles 29:17. They began the consecration on the first day of the month. And the eighth day of the month, they reached the portico of the Lord. For 8 more days, they consecrated the temple of the Lord, finishing it on the 16th day of the first month. They were moving, man. 2 Chronicles 29:20. Early the next morning. When? Early the next morning. King Hezekiah gathered the city officials together and went up to the temple. The guy's setting the pace. It takes 16 days to consecrate the temple, and on the seventh day, early the next morning. Don't wait around a week now, the temple, let's celebrate. No, let's get the officials in here tonight, tomorrow. That's a leader, see? 2 Chronicles 29:35 through 36. So the service of the temple of the Lord was reestablished. Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced at what God brought about for his people because it was done so quickly. Eagles get ahead of the game. Amen? They move fast. They set the pace. And they do that, by the way, without being reckless. That's important. You can be reckless in your speed. Huh? Speed doesn't always mean right. Speed means careful. A, eagles increase pace by arranging your calendar on purpose. Let me get practical. Now I am going to teach a little bit. But if you're an eagle, this is kind of, I call this the four R's of my calendar. And this is how I set up my calendar. Number one, what's required of me? What's required of me? So I'm the president of Elam Fellowship, right? So every single month I look at my calendar and say, okay, what's required of me? If you're not careful, you'll fill up your calendar with life and not be able to do what's required of you in your jobs, right? So I don't know what your jobs are in this church. You all have different support issues and ways you serve here. But here's the deal. If it's required of you to show up for rehearsal, that should get in your calendar first. If it's required of you to show up for a meeting, that should be in there. Eagles do that. Second question, they all begin with the R, the blanks. What brings the greatest return? In my case, I wrote for Elam Fellowship. But in your case, it might be what brings the greatest return for my Sunday school class? Or what brings the greatest return for how I do maintenance? Or what brings the greatest return for the sound system in my church? My job as an audio tech. Whatever it is, if you're an eagle, you're asking the question, what brings the greatest return? And that should get into your calendar. Third one is, what are others requesting of me? Now, if you don't budget your time, this will fill up your calendar. Because everybody's got, when people find out you're an Eagle, everybody will request your time. Are you with me? They don't go around recruiting turkeys. They recruit Eagles. And so, again, make sure the other two are in front of that. But what are others requiring of me? Their requests are not your priority. Your priorities are what is God requesting, and what are your bosses requesting, and what is your department directors requesting, whatever it is, you know? And then the last thing, what is personally rewarding me? This might be grabbing lunch with somebody that you're sitting with right now, instead of waiting for the pastor to have a meeting like this. What's rewarding to you? Fill that up with your calendar. Okay, so here's my point one. Eagles dare to cultivate zeal. Eagles dare to get out in front. Three, eagles dare to set the leadership pace. Number four, I'm almost done. Eagles dare to leverage momentum. When they see something going really good, when they see something winning, they go, let's not just sit around and celebrate this. Let's build on this. That's an eagle. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 1 says, Hezekiah sent word to all Israel and Judah and also wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh, inviting them to come to the temple in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Hey, look, we've got the temple. Let's get everybody here for Passover. That's what he's saying. We've got the temple built. Let's not waste this opportunity. Let's get the letters out. See, you build on momentum. Eagles, 2 Chronicles 31:1, when all this ended, the Israelites who were with them went out to the towns of Judah and they smashed out the stones. In other words, they're saying, okay, we've cleaned our own place out. Now let's go pull all the idols down everywhere else. Building on momentum. Hey, pastor, we fixed this area of the church. Let's move on to this area of the church. See what I'm saying? It's building on momentum. That's what eagles do. Hezekiah, by the way, I just heard your story about how you went to Nisim and learned how to pretty ladies up down there, and then you came back and pretty ladies up here. That's pretty cool. That's called building on momentum right there. That's saying, hey, we like this so much, let's do it back in Titusville. That's pretty cool. See, your pastor's bragging on you. He should have preached this. All right, moving on. Just kidding. I like it. I'm having fun. Can you tell? I'm pretty relaxed around you guys, all right? 2 Chronicles 31:2, Hezekiah assigned the priests and the Levites to divisions, each of them according to their duties, to offer burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, to minister, to give thanks, and to sing praises at the gates of the Lord's dwelling. Hey, I'm not only one in charge, I'm going to empower others to have a good time in the house. That's what he's saying, building on momentum. 2 Chronicles 32:1 through 8. I already said this, but listen. After all that Hezekiah had to so faithfully done, that guy there said, I speak in tongues on that guy, came and invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified cities, thinking to conquer them for himself. He said this. Listen to what he said to his people. Be strong and courageous. This is when the war started to come. This is when the Assyrians started to come in and attack them. And this is what he said to them. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged because the king of Assyria and the vast army that's with him, for there is a greater power with us. Come on, this is exciting, huh? There's a greater power with us. With him is only the arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us fight the battles. And our people gained confidence from what Hezekiah the king had said. Isn't that cool? Momentum. Eagles focus on what they can do and not what they can't do. A, eagles focus on what they can do and not what they can't do. Paul Johansson, when he became the president of the Bible school, he says, I never want to hear anybody say we can't do that. I'm glad I didn't work for him. All right, I'm just playing. Eagles absorb pressure. There's people, the turkeys, man, the minute the pressure shows up, they're squawking and they're wild. But eagles say, bring it on. Bring it on. They absorb pressure. Eagles understand the difference between stress and pressure. Eagles understand stress and pressure are not the same thing. This was really insightful for me as I wrote this, because I found this in a book. Pressure is around you and stress is inside you. It's not the same. Some people live with tons of stress and seemingly limited pressure. You never know how hard somebody is working just to be normal because of stress. Eagles figure out how to absorb an overflowing amount of pressure without being overwhelmed by stress. Eagles handle the pressure on the outside without letting it stress the inside. That's an eagle. You don't get taken out ever by pressure. You always get taken out by stress. That's true, isn't it? Since my heart attack, that's one thing I have to do now, because I'm finding myself having self-talk all the time. That's a counseling term, but basically I think that's what David did when he spoke to his soul. He said, bless the Lord, all my soul. He's saying, soul, listen, soul, bless the Lord. And so different situations come up as the president now, and you know, there's this person over in my office and this person that don't agree and all that, and I'm listening to it, and sometimes that could get on you, you know what I mean? And so I'm like, God, don't, that's pressure, not stress. Don't let it stress me. Because stress is why I got a heart attack. Don't have a heart attack, be an eagle. Eagles absorb pressure but resolve stress before God. This is how King Hezekiah did it, verse 20 of 32. He said, King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah and the son of Amoz cried out in prayer to the heaven about this. The Assyrians are coming. Oh God, help us out. He's a good guy, Hezekiah, isn't he? All right, let's end it with this as we go. Eagles dare to stay humble in success. Because you see, when I started talking at the beginning of this, if I called you an eagle, some of you would go, I'm really not an eagle. There's so many more eagles than me. That's because one of the signs of an eagle is humility. Humility is a very important thing. Even Hezekiah, if you really read the story, he got a little proud for a while. And God humbled him, brought him back down. Hezekiah's heart was proud, it says in your notes, and he did not respond to the kindness that was shown to him. Therefore, the Lord's wrath was beginning to come upon him and Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, if you get proud, not only are you affected, your church is affected, and your community is affected. We have no idea how much pride can destroy our kids, our future, and our ministry. Then Hezekiah repented out of the pride of his heart, as did the people of Jerusalem, and therefore the Lord's wrath did not come on them during the days of Hezekiah. So I guess what I would say is this, as I end this, I want to pray for you. I want to pray a prayer of thanksgiving, because I know I'm standing amongst a bunch of eagles. I know that for a fact. Let me just have you take a good look inside right now and say, hey, I do think I'm an eagle. I think I'm in this room right now because I love this church. I love my pastor. I love what I do. And he loves you. I know that. But here's the deal. I know for me, as I was going through this, and I have two more that I didn't even give you, as I was looking at it, I said, I think I need a little tune-up on one of these. So maybe you've not cultivated zeal. Maybe you've been pushed back on passion. And ask God to renew your zeal for him. Are you out in front or are you behind? It's one thing I really, when I hired my 7 staff at my church, when my church grew from 36 to 500, and I had 7 full-time staff, and one of the things I never wanted to do with my staff is I always have to make them, whip them into zeal. I wanted them to create that self-governing zeal. That's what eagles do. They don't need other people to come along and stir them up. They need people to come along and thank them. That's what this is about. But eagles embrace the zeal of the Lord themselves. How are you doing in that area? Eagles dare to lead the pace. Eagles dare to leverage momentum. And eagles dare to stay humble. You know, the Bible never said that God wants you to be humbled by Him. The Bible doesn't say, let God humble you, or even circumstances. This is what the Bible says. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humility takes you saying, is there any area in my life that's functioning in pride? And I have to look at that too. God help me. God help me. Thank you for the opportunity. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for this wonderful group of people, because I know what it's like to be a pastor when you have a group of people just like this who represent probably 20% of this church. And the people in this room are not here by mistake. They're here because they're eagles. And I pray, God, that you would just continue to bless them. May the fruit of their labor be increased. May their joy be increased as they see people come to this church and the impact that this church has on Titusville, Pennsylvania and the surrounding communities. And it's in your name I pray. Hey, let's give it up for your pastor.
So I'm just... Again, I just think that if you could walk away with anything today, I would just ask that you would know that this church exists because of your willingness to give of your time, to be praying for this church, be praying for the ministry. Just while he was, while Pastor Chris was sharing about a few things, it's been amazing to see some of the most effective ministries that are rising up right now in the church. Are things that have been started by passionate, zealous people within our church. The Hope Chest, I love bragging on that. We have a children's ministry opportunity that's coming up for Matt and Nikki, and that was something I didn't say. We want to do something with our children. What do we do? And sometimes those can, you just feel like you're as a leader, you're kind of, oh man, we got to do something with our kids. Oh, we pray and we ask the Lord, you know, move in the body of Christ. Let's see what happens. Matt and Nikki said, we want to see this thing happen. I said, great. Let's see it happen together. Kelly said, I want to start praying over the church. And she started bringing ladies in and they pray, all around. Cool. So if I talk for too long, I'll get all sappy. But it's just really neat to see everything that's going on. I would just ask that you would see that the heart is there. Just to tie in the eagle thing, Alexa and I watched, I think it was last season, we kind of got hooked on eagle cams. Do you guys ever watch those? Those are awesome. And there was an eagle cam that was set up that was in the central part of PA. And eagles mate for life. And every once in a while, an eagle, you know, the spouse, I guess we can call it, dies. And the remaining one, you know, the female, will find a new mate. And we found this one camera. It was so funny. And they had a little note behind it that a new eagle parent will kind of get over-ambitious about their job. And the mom is sitting there roosting and sitting on the egg, and the dad's job is to go get fish and bring it to the nest. The nest is roughly about the size of your cafe tables there, maybe a little bit bigger. And they all of a sudden we come back like a week later, and there is fish. Like all the way around this thing. I mean, you can barely distinguish the nest. There's piles of fish. And there's a note that went under there and said, they really get excited about their job and they don't know when to stop. And the dad is just like, fish. I can't even remember if the eggs were hatched yet. I mean, they might have been. They're little. But the idea is just the zealousness of that, of just having that. And I thought of that when you were sharing that, is that he just was like, yep, this is my job. I'm going to get these fish. And they even start, there's one little post that they said, sometimes it can actually attract predators because the fish start falling out of the nest. But the idea is that there he is doing it. And he also mentioned, I hear these things. He mentioned the word momentum. Did you guys hear it? That's the name of our building project. he mentioned that. And he said, build on this, right? The eagles build on momentum. And I just like, you talk about holy goosebumps. I'm just sitting there like, that's it. And so I feel like this time is just to encourage you, to bless you. And I know that this ministry, it would not be what it is without you. Father, we thank you for just everything that you're doing. We just pray that we would continue to heed the words of Pastor Chris and humble ourselves before you, that we could just be tools in your hand. What an amazing challenge. And God, I thank you that this room is filled with eagles that have the zeal of the Lord within them. And we just ask for you to continue to lead, inspire, and guide us as we reach out, touch hearts, and change lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. So God bless. We're going to get back together again tomorrow morning. We look forward to ministering with you again. Praise the Lord. We need some help doing tables. Is that what you're saying, Jim? Some of the, just 1 second, some of the 6 foot tables have to go back to classrooms and stuff like that. A couple of guys, if you have a chance to help us out, that'd be great.